Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody here tonight. Prayer series, if my people who are called by his name will what? Humble themselves and pray. We know God is looking for a praying church. That's a priority for the church. A praying church. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And so we had started by looking at united corporate prayer. And we know that that is the whole body coming together, assembling together in one place at the same time, releasing their faith on the same thing at the same time. So the key to united corporate prayer, we said, was what? Unity. And the second key to united corporate prayer was what? Lifting our voices together out loud. Wow. It is not praying to yourself. So there is a leader. Ultimately, the leader is the Holy Spirit, but then there's a leader under the Holy Spirit, and that leader is trusting and following the Holy Ghost, and the prayers are tuned in to the leader and listening to what the Holy Spirit would be telling them as the leader is bringing the direction, following the Holy Spirit. So it's all of us lifting our voices together, not just some of us. It's not praying to ourselves, for ourselves, or by ourselves. It's all of us praying together. And then we said, when it comes to united corporate prayer, that there are different kind of prayers that can work together like fingers on a hand, because there's more than one kind. And in united corporate prayer, there can be, we have talked about the prayer of intercession. And along with the prayer of intercession, you will find many times the prayer of supplication intertwining, working together with it. And we know that the prayer of supplication is what? A heartfelt, earnest request being made known unto God. It's earnest, it's heartfelt, it's fervent. And so when you mix that with the prayer of intercession, you want it to be heartfelt, you want it to be sincere, you want it to be earnest. And then the prayer of intercession, we found out that that's what? It's the greatest act of love on behalf of someone else. The prayer of intercession is not for yourself, it's usually for somebody else. The prayer of intercession, we found out that the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, how he plays the role, he comes in and works together with us. He needs a body by which he can what? Flow and operate through, manifest his will on the earth through a vessel that's yielded. What did we end up last week saying that God needs what? He needs an ear to hear, a heart to obey, and a mouth to pray. Let me say that again. He needs an ear to hear, a heart to obey, and a mouth to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we found out in Romans 8, 26 and 27 about the important part of the Holy Spirit, how that word helpeth means he comes alongside, takes hold together against with us. And we also looked at the word infirmities, and that word infirmities, we broke it down into three categories where the Holy Spirit takes hold against together with us against ignorance of not knowing what God's word says. Also, dullness of perception, a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding when it comes to the will and the purpose or the plan of God or the word of God. And we also found out the third thing was the sickness, frailty, weakness, sickness in body. that the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against that sickness or disease.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we went over all of those things, and last week we started looking at also when the Holy Spirit helps us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, he also helps us with groanings. This is how the Spirit helps us work together with these groanings. And we found out that these groanings that Jesus groaned at Lazarus' tomb, when Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days, we found out that Jesus, Mary and Martha came to him, and when he saw them weeping, he began to weep, to groan in the Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit groans because it tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, how he takes hold together with us against and himself. The Holy Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered in your natural known language. So tonight, I want to continue on this groaning, how the Spirit helps us with these groanings, and look at some definitions of groanings here. And when we look at the word groanings and the definition, it means to cause, to make, to stand, to put, to place, to make firm, to fix, to establish. To cause a person or thing to keep his or its place. To stop and to be of a steadfast mind. This word groanings, we're talking about the definitions of groanings. Purposes of groanings. So we see in number one, the purpose of groaning, we see, is for resurrection power. And that resurrection, that word means to raise people out of death, to lift up, going to a new level, to stand up again so God can be glorified, to revive, to renew, purposes of groanings. And one of the examples I like to use is a man that was named Charles Finney. And he was an evangelistic, fired up evangelist. Anyway, he had a man called Father Nash, which was a man of prayer that preceded every one of Charles Finney's evangelistic meetings. He would go into the city before he got there, this man called Father Nash. He was a man of prayer, and he would pray for 2 weeks before the evangelist Charles Finney would even come in the area. This man, Father Nash, was known for praying in the Spirit with loud groanings and travail. And Brother Hagin made this comment about Charles Finney and the Father Nash, who went before him in every one of his evangelistic meetings, and he would pray. And it was known and it was said of him that this man, Father Nash, would rent a room in a hotel somewhere, and you could hear him literally groaning and weeping and travailing for that city before Charles Finney even got there. People made comments as they would go by his room. It was just tremendous loud groanings and travail and weeping for that place. You think, well, what did all that have to do, Pastor Debbie? Well, 80% of Charles Finney's converts stayed saved. 80%, that's a good percentage. We're not in here to make converts. We're in here to have new births. And that comes through, new births come through travail and groaning, giving birth in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. We want people that's going to stay saved and continue to grow in their walk and be discipled for Jesus Christ, right? You know, the church is held responsible for every single baby that gets born again here and them continuing to walk out the plan God has for their life. We are responsible for every backslider. When they come in here, they get born again, and all of a sudden we don't see them again, and we're wondering where they are, what's happened. Instead of talk about them, get on their knees and start praying for them. You don't never know what a person is going through or dealing with, but the Father does know. And like I said, intercession is born and birthed out of a living, intimate, loving relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's not just an in and out deal. Well, I'm going to get close to the Father because I feel like I need something right now. It's not about that. It's a continual walk, talk, fellowshipping, intimacy between you and Him. You love spending time with Him. He knows that. He knows that when you're before Him, He has all your heart. Your heart is laid out before Him. He knows that. And He's communicating with you. He's loving on you. You're loving back on Him. You're letting Him know how much you love Him. And through that living relationship and that intimacy, you get to know the Father's heart, His heartbeat, His love for humanity, His love for mankind. God is a merciful, patient, loving Father. He is all about mercy. He doesn't want to have to judge people. He'd rather choose mercy over judgment. But people's lifestyles and their sins can bring about the judgment of God in their life, because when you come to know and understand what sin does to individuals, if you hate it as much as the Father hates it, why? Because He paid a great price for your freedom and your victory. To deliver you from your sins. To rescue you from perishing. And it says that when we know and understand the Father's great love for us, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it tells us that same love with which He loved us has been shed abroad in our hearts. And that love is in us for one another. It tells us in, well, you have Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. You who are strong, bear with the failings of the weak, not to please yourself. That word bear means to lift off and remove a heavy burden on somebody else's life. It could be a weight or a sin. could be sickness. Then it tells us also in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word bear also means to lift off and remove. Just like Jesus identified with us in our sins and our lives, the prayer of intercession is through your love and your compassion for that individual, you identify with them and begin to take their place through standing in the gap, making up the hedge. And sometimes, like Brother Hagin said, the more you pray, the more you give yourself to prayer. There are some people who are more given to prayer than others. But I'm praying that through this prayer series, there's going to be a whole lot more giving themselves to prayer. But as you give yourself to prayer through the prayer of intercession, sometimes the compassion of the Lord, you can feel what they're feeling. If they're lost, you might feel lost. If they're dealing with a weakness, a sickness, or a disease, you might feel the same symptoms come on your body. And it's learning through growing and becoming mature and learning to discern what is of the Holy Spirit in prayer, or if it's an attack coming against you physically from the enemy himself. But you learn this by spending time with him and learning how to discern the difference. But it comes through spending much time with the Father. Quality time with the Father. Not a rush in, rush out. Oh, I did my thing today. I did my duty. I started it. I read my Bible. I got on my knees. I lifted my hand. It's a little bit more to it than that. It's wanting to be there in that place. It's he knows that you're willing to give up your time and your sleep if he should nudge you in the middle of the night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Think it not strange. That's a real prominent time in the spirit realm. 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. So God is looking for a body that is willing to give themselves more to prayer. And like I have shared before, there have been times, Pastor Chris and I together, and we get an emergency phone call, and we find out that somebody is on their deathbed, and didn't ask for this, but all of a sudden, the Spirit of God takes hold together with me, and the groanings and the travail come out of your innermost being, out of the very core of your being for that individual. This is not something you make happen. This is not something you stir up to cause it to happen. No, it comes only as the Spirit wills. Remember, he's looking for availability. Don't use the Holy Spirit. Let him use you. You can't make something happen if he's not in that particular prayer. So just a quick review here. We said that these groanings are yearnings, longings, agonizing longings which never find words. They're sighs too deep for words. They're wordless and inarticulate battle cries of deep emotion. And this is a way that the Holy Spirit helps us in praying for others. We said that all creation is groaning and travailing in pain. The Bible tells us this. The ultimate consciousness of pain resides in God because of his perfect love for us. Then through our fellowship with God our Father, we're brought into this fellowship with suffering creation. Because we're united to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit interprets to us God's consciousness of suffering for humanity. And this suffering for humanity, it makes intercession. The Holy Spirit makes intercession and groanings that cannot be uttered in your articulate speech or your regular speech. We found out last week, and I'm just reviewing, these groanings come from deep within your spirit or the core of your being, and to be effective, they must what? Escape your lips. They need to be heard. The New English Translation says, through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. We're talking about Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. The Phillips translation says he calls them agonizing longings which never find words. So these groanings or yearnings are according to the will of God and express his love and care for us. Although we cannot understand these groanings, they are intelligible to God. They always mean something to him, and he always responds to these groanings. Brother Hagin gave so many examples. He said, but every time when he had the travail and the groaning of the Spirit through this intercession upon him, every single time, without a doubt, that individual was delivered or healed, or raised up. Without a shadow of a doubt, every time. He said it's one of the greatest ways to break the power of the devil off of an individual's life. Some people are so blinded by the sin that they're in, they're so held captive by that sin that they can't see their way out. But if somebody, by the choosing of the Holy Spirit, would avail themselves to the Holy Ghost, and he decides to make intercession through you, then that power can be broken off of those individuals so that they can be free. So these groanings, let's look at the purposes of this. The purpose of these groanings and travail. Number one, it's for people to be born again. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul prayed. I'm reading from the Amplified, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, my little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. So we see the first time that Paul prayed, interceded, groaned, and travailed for these individuals, it was what? To be born again, the new birth. So they would be born again. And then we see a second time he's travailing and groaning again, that what? They get rooted and grounded. Christ would be formed in them. They can grow and mature, come to maturity spiritually. So these groanings and travail is for people to be born again. Second, these travail and groanings is for Christ to be formed in them. We just looked at that right here with Paul. Third, travail and groanings is for deliverance. Let's go to Acts chapter 7 together. Acts chapter 7, and we're looking at verse 34. And this is Acts chapter 7, verse 34. When Moses, with the children of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt. In verse 34 it says, "Because I have most assuredly seen the abuse and oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their," what? "Sighing and groaning, I have come down to rescue them." So this groaning and travailing brings deliverance. Also, this groaning and travailing, it brings revival. Just like I had shared earlier about Charles Finney, when he would go into areas and Father Nash would pray 2 weeks out before he even got there, they said that bars would close, and some places whole cities would get saved. That's revival. How powerful is that? He said this kind of prayer birthed revival. Travail and groanings is giving birth in the spirit world. It carries the idea of a woman travailing in birth with pain and agony and groaning when she's given birth to a baby. It can involve your whole body. Some of the characteristics of the groaning and the travail, it can be noisy, it can be weeping. It can be for a moment, a few minutes, a few hours, or even longer. Remember, with this type of prayer, it is a continual prayer. You persevere, you stay at it until you hit a note of victory. Or you begin to feel light, like this load or this burden that you've been praying about or for has lifted. Maybe you might begin to sing in the spirit. Or you might begin to laugh and rejoice. It means that you've prayed it in, prayed it out, prayed it through your assignment that you were given for this type of prayer. And it can happen in united corporate prayer. But you're following the leader and you're listening. I also want to share this when it comes to the prayer of intercession. Standing in the gap, making up the hedge for a people or people group or a place. That men can travail. Men can travail. It's not just the women that can travail and groan in this prayer of intercession. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, it says, "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all of their faces are turned into white paleness," or into paleness. So the calling is to men and women. It's not just women prayers, it's also men prayers. And like I say, it goes back to your availing yourself and giving yourself to it. Tonight, what I would like to do is lay hands on you who want to go further in prayer. Tonight, I would like to lay hands on you and pray for those who want to go further in their prayer life when it comes to availing and giving themselves unto prayer more. If that is anybody in here tonight, Ron, could I? Thank you, Ron. We want to pray for you, lay hands on you.